I'm just going to say it to kick us off. It feels less celebratory and more relieving, but I'll take relief at this point over celebrate. Like, I don't feel jubilant right now.
You know how I feel?
What?
I'm very glad that the Pittsburgh Steelers gave up. And we're able to start the show just a little bit earlier because
it's
over. The game is over.
It is nice.
It's a minute and 8 seconds left, but it's over.
But I'm telling you, Rita,
he's mailed it in.
Like, a big win, and this is a big win.
Yes, it is.
I feel like I should feel more joyful. I should feel more celebratory right now. It's not the emotion that I have right now. The emotion that I have is more. Whew, okay. I didn't think the Ravens were great tonight.
I thought they were good.
I thought they were good. I thought they overcame some things, had a few fortunate things go their way, and they got a nice win. And
absolutely.
Ultimately, I don't want to take anything away from the quality of this win. This is a really good win. I don't think it gives you a direct path to winning the AFC North.
No.
Because I think the Bengals are a major factor.
They are good.
I'm stunned by what they did today in Atlanta. Stunned that they went there and did that. Not that I think the Falcons are great, but just the way it happened.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be the one to bury the Steelers. Like, I still think the Steelers will be a factor in this thing at some point.
Maybe.
As the season goes along.
Potentially.
But this is a really, really nice win.
How many?
This is a nice win for the Baltimore Ravens.
How many games? What was it? This snaps a 5-game losing streak. Please don't quote me on this.
In the regular season, right? If you eliminate, yes. If you take away the 2014 season when they went in the playoffs,
they have lost since. Correct?
Right.
No. Because the year that Joe Flacco went out,
they
Ryan Mallett
yeah,
beat
them.
And I feel like that potentially was the last time that they've won. The Steelers, basically the point that I'm trying to make here is that the Steelers have been on a streak against the Ravens. At the very least, they've won 3 games in a row against the Ravens.
Yes.
So to see them go in Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh, right.
Because remember, the 2 previous years in which they've done it, they've had a lead. The Christmas game obviously hurt really bad. It took them out of the playoff contention.
Both years, the season was
defined. But that one was really. They win the division if they win that game.
But if they had won last year in that game, again, they still would have had to beat the Bengals in week 17,
yes.
But we presume that would have been a different circumstance.
Yeah, correct.
If they had won that one last year, they would have played those last 2 weeks knowing if they win their last 2 games, they win the division as well. So, I hear everything you're saying, Rita. And there's no world in which I want to belittle anything about this. I think this is a phenomenal win for the Baltimore Ravens. And you weren't here last weekend.
Yeah.
You were in New York. I had said something. Eric Weddle had this silly thing after the game last Sunday where he was like, the way the game started, you guys are probably thinking these are the same old Ravens, but we're not the same Ravens.
He did say that.
And I wrote a whole column on Monday, and my entire show on Monday was about, look, I like Eric Weddle, and I get that he was trying to be a little silly, but we're going to find out if they're the same old Ravens. That beating the Broncos at home didn't teach us that. We're going to find out if the same old Ravens, if they can go and get a stop when they need to get a stop in the second half against the Steelers on the road on Sunday.
Yeah.
That's when we're going to find out if the same old Ravens, because, Rita, what you're alluding to is the story of what the Ravens have been. The Ravens for the last 2 years have been defined by, for as much as we criticize their offense, as much as we criticize Joe Flacco, as much as we criticize all those guys, they've been defined by their inability to get a stop in the fourth quarter against Ben Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh.
Correct.
It is defined who the Ravens are for the last 2 seasons. So we couldn't know if they were the same old Ravens until tonight. And tonight we got our answer. I still have questions about this defense.
As you should.
But there's now 4 games where they haven't allowed a second half touchdown.
You go, 3-1 without Jimmy Smith. You get him back next week. So you now have a little bit more of a complete team. CJ Mosley made his way back into the lineup tonight.
Right.
And then again, like I said, you get Jimmy Smith next week.
Yes.
And so you now we're going to start to see what this team is like with
Hurst,
better players. Potentially Hayden Hurst comes in, which I'm excited about because I do think that Hayden Hurst will bring a dynamic that will be very hard to defend with him and Mark Andrews.
Although, in fairness, all the tight ends have played well this season.
Yes, and they're going to have a decision to make when Hayden Hurst gets healthy because Max Williams had a good day today. I believe he mentioned that he had 5 catches tonight. Nick Boyle, obviously. They love the way he plays. So the Ravens have a good problem, but a problem nonetheless. But I will say that look, we can sit here and discredit this win because we know Pittsburgh has not been themselves. Obviously, you tie with the Browns, and you've only had one win this year. You don't have Le'Veon Bell, who's been out because he wants a bigger contract, yes. Yes. Which I can completely understand. So there's their own factors. But guess who doesn't give a damn about any of those things? Because it doesn't matter.
Who cares?
He's not there. Right. You got to move on.
Right.
You're not doing.
And James Conner's played well this season.
He has.
And did
he has played well. Now he's not Le'Veon Bell,
no.
But he's played well.
Right.
You still have Juju Smith-Schuster. You still have Antonio Brown.
Yeah, he's okay.
You still have the tight ends that you have. You still have key players on that team. And so I don't care what the Steelers have going on right now. You have enough players to make plays to win games if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Ravens have capitalized off of the fact that the Steelers' defense is not that good. And that was my concern going in because although the Ravens statistically are better than the Steelers, really way above,
yeah.
It doesn't feel that way in certain instances. And so my concern was, well, who's going to capitalize off of their defense that they're playing more? And so I'm not going to lie to you. I did pick the Steelers to win. But we talked about this earlier in the Press Box Fantasy and Reality Show. I did not pick the Steelers. I picked the Ravens to cover. I did pick the Steelers to win, but I picked the Ravens to cover. And I think 3.5 was the amount. I did think that this would be a close game. And I thought that both teams offensively would give the defense a fit. I don't know what happened with Pittsburgh tonight. But what I do know what happened is the Ravens on offense executed a lot of plays, starting with the fact of your man, Joseph Vincent Flacco. He's played very well.
Oh.
And he's kept them. He played a phenomenal game. And he's kept this team on their heels when it comes to playing defensively against offensively against Pittsburgh, and that's how they win this game tonight.
Let me get through some of these comments. There's so much that I want to talk about, not only based on what you just said, but just in general, there's a ton that I want to talk about. But let me get through some of these comments. From Mick, huge win, no doubt. KZ, great game. Well played, except for not running the ball with 3 minutes left,
yes.
But 3-1 is a great place to be. Good night. Yeah, I mean, look.
We talked about that.
You and I were talking about it.
KZ talked about it.
And I said this to you, Rita, and I mean this. I don't really care if you've got to play. If you're saying in this moment, we're going to go win this game with a touchdown, we can run some clock and probably feel pretty good about our chances, or we can just go ice it by scoring a touchdown right here. I've got a play that I think is going to go score us a touchdown. Okay, I'll hear you.
Okay.
But here's one thing that I know has not worked effectively for the Baltimore Ravens this season. And again, every time I bring it up, it sounds like I'm knocking the dude. I think it's insane what they're doing with him. We are talking about runs where Lamar Jackson has picked up 6 yards and said, oh, my God, that was a successful play.
Well, because it wasn't a negative play, I guess.
Because all of them have been negative. Because nothing is working right now. When you're throwing out Lamar Jackson, it is abundantly clear that he is not going downfield. It's abundantly clear that you are not throwing the ball to him downfield. And so when you're screaming that with a guy that you're putting, you only get 5 guys. There's only 5 players on every play that are allowed to catch a football. And when you call a pass play where you are announcing ahead of time, we're putting one of those 5 guys on the field that's definitely not going to be catching the football because we don't do that with him. It is such a decided advantage to your opponent. And it's insane to do it at all, but to do it in that situation, the number of times that they didn't just call a play. Joe Flacco's been great on third down this season.
He has.
There were a number of plays where he wasn't even under center on third down tonight, or where he was under center on third down while they were doing some kitschy, bizarre thing with Lamar Jackson. I don't think they should do it at all, but they sure as F should not be doing it on third down.
I agree. I thought that the third down play was ridiculously stupid. Now, I will say that the one play that they had with Lamar in, I believe that Ronnie Stanley kind of whiffed on a play that would have been a big play.
Right, clearly, the one that the Steelers called a timeout on at the beginning of the game looked like it was
and that
be a successful
that looked like that would have been a big play as well.
But not
but,
a third
but
down
third
play.
Down, you have to put the guy that has won you the Super Bowl, the guy that is still the starting the quarterback, playing, the guy that's right, that's playing very well, that we have not seen in a few years, whether it's been due to injury or what, or due to lack of skill players, whatever the reasoning may be, you have not seen him play this well since 2014. Why would you continuously find ways to try to mess up the momentum with doing that? And you guys know how much I love Lamar Jackson, but I'm kind of tired of these plays happening. Now, if you want to say, hey, it's been working because, like you said, there's been 6 yards, 5 yards here, that's fine. But I do think in a situation like a third down situation, it's stupid. It's stupid. Put the hands, put it in number five's hands. Let him make the plays and leave Lamar Jackson out of that. That's one less skill player that you have on the field when you have Lamar Jackson out there. And that's the only issue between that and them not running the football at 3 minutes. Those are the two things that I think I have as an issue with. But you can overlook those things simply because there's a win. Because if you think about
it, they got the job done. Right.
Yeah, they got the job done. But really, Glenn, they really should have been blowing this team out. If you don't fumble, if you're Alex Collins and you don't fumble at the 1 yard line, that's at minimum 3 points. But I'm going to go ahead and say that that's seven. I'm going to go ahead and say that that's seven, that they find a way to score a touchdown there, if even if he doesn't get in. If he just stops at the one.
You would like to think so.
You'd like to assume that he would have gotten it. With the way this defense has played, the Pittsburgh Steelers defense.
If I remember correctly, until that moment, they were perfect on the season in the red
zone. They
were.
So that ruined that whole that perfect season.
Yes.
But the way that the defense of Pittsburgh has played, you have to assume that they would have been in a good position to get 7 points out of that. This game was not close, in my opinion. It was not really a close game. You had a turnover that allowed some momentum to happen. The Steelers found a way to get the ball going, get the ball moving. But I think if you make it 21-6, this is a completely different outcome, in my opinion.
I don't disagree with that. Hey, Project End is brought to you by Glory Days Grill. Catch all the action at your neighborhood Glory Days Grill. We have tons of TVs to catch every moment of every game. $5.99 burgers on Mondays. By the way, another good game tomorrow night, Broncos Chiefs. So you want to get over to Glory Days Grill, hang out, watch the game, $5.99 burgers. Plus, Thursdays, I got $5.99 nachos, drink specials throughout the season to help you cheer on your favorite teams. Come in today, try something new from the seasonal menu. Glory Days Grill, great food, good sports. John from Little Rock, stunning how bad the Steelers look tonight. Great play calling by Marty and perfect execution by Joe and company. The defense came up big, and without Jimmy Smith, huge win. Mostly agreed. Again, people are pointing out that, yes, the amazing play call on the clinching drive, on the drive what actually ended up being the second to last possession because they got the ball back after the Levine interception, but the lengthy drive that iced the game away, the third down conversion of Max Williams. Yes, Max Williams apparently needed to be a couple inches back, and that should have probably been flagged based on the letter of the law. But it wasn't because he wasn't a couple inches back that play worked. Anybody that's screaming about it is screaming about it because technically they're right. That should have been a flag. But the Ravens didn't convert that because Max Williams wasn't 2 inches back further, right?
Correct.
Like, they converted it because it was a tremendous call.
Yes.
Max Williams just screwed up exactly where he
Correct.
Lined up.
Yes.
And it could have been flagged because
yes.
of that.
Yes.
But again, the execution, the call were correct. The only thing that was missed was that Max Williams, and by the way, as it turns out, it doesn't matter. You don't give those things back. Calls get missed all the time. But it was a brilliant call. Now, again, you measure that versus the insanity of what you're doing on second and third down there at the end of the drive versus the insanity of how you continue to sort of ham-fistedly put Lamar Jackson on the field for the sake of doing it when you have a quarterback who's playing like a top five quarterback in the National Football League at the moment.
He is.
When he's playing an insanely high level of football and you insist on doing this stuff just for the sake of doing it, and this notion that it's drastically helping you is not one that you're going to sell me on. You're also not going to sell me on the notion the teams are spending so much time. In fact, an opposing coach has said, at most, we spent maybe 10 more minutes looking at something this week. Like, you're not selling me on the value of the Lamar Jackson stuff. So that's my difficulty. I want to praise Marty Morningweg, but somebody's got to be the adult in the room and say, guys, we're playing too good of football with Joe Flacco as our quarterback and the receivers that we have and the tight ends that are playing well. We don't need to just keep doing this for the sake of doing it. It's dumb. Let's stop. Somebody's got to be the adult in the room at some point.
I agree. I do think last week showed that it can work against the Broncos when they scored. okay, but that was one in how many opportunities? How many opportunities have we done?
The notion that that play worked only because Lamar Jackson, again, that's the best sell that you can give me all season.
Absolutely.
Is that on that play, when he split out to the left, there was a linebacker that went with him, and that opened up the middle of the field a little bit more. Don't know that it would have changed the result of the play if you had done anything else. Don't know that that linebacker might not have shifted out to cover a player that was lined up at. You know, I can't tell you that.
Yep.
But yes, that's the best thing that you can say so far about the Jackson stuff. From Alex, they left a lot on the field and still won by 12 in Pittsburgh. Hard to complain, but it does feel a little weird. Maybe it's the Steelers' fault. They don't look that good. And that's sort of what I'm like. I don't feel the jubilation that I feel. Like, remember the night that Torrey Smith caught the touchdown at the end of the game in Pittsburgh?
I was there. Mm-hmm. I remember. I was there.
I was not. I was in studio that night. I was back when I was doing the radio show. But I remember being in studio that night and like legitimately inviting people in to pound beers with us on the air. Like, it was such a silly, celebratory. Like, you just felt so good that night. Like, that night felt so insanely good. Like, it was such a massive win that you couldn't contain your excitement.
Yep.
I don't feel that way tonight. And when I say that, and it's so difficult because I feel like I'm saying six different things at once, I'm not trying to take anything away from it. I think it's a massive win. I just don't feel the same way. I feel more like, okay, that's taken care of. That's done. Good. Wonderful. I'm still not convinced that the Ravens are flawless, that the Ravens don't have major issues, but I feel good. I feel good at the quarter pole of this season with where this team is, particularly with how their quarterback has played these 4 weeks.
And that's what I was going to say. I think that we can be okay with what's going on here because of the quarterback situation, because they're getting such a high level of play from the quarterback situation and the guys that they got for him in free agency and through the draft. I think that – so I
save for Michael Crabtree's insane middle-of-the-field drop tonight. Willie Snead, Michael Crabtree, and more than anybody, John Brown.
John Brown already in 4 weeks has literally earned – I don't know how much, I can't remember what his contract was, but he's earned it.
I feel like
we can just, we need to just go ahead and extend him tomorrow for like 3 more years, just in case.
I don't remember the last time, and again, I say this all knowing that I have the fear that like he gets hurt at some point.
Yeah.
And so when people start talking about extending him, I'm like, I get why that might not be something the Ravens are comfortable
but
doing.
But he's playing well. He's been remarkable. He literally was double covered in that touchdown pass. He's double covered, and he just puts this third gear in. Maybe it was not even third gear. Maybe it's just his second gear that they can't keep up with, and he zooms past them, and he gets the pass. And that's the one dynamic that I think has been missing, because we always have known that Flacco has had this great arm, but it's been very hard to pair someone up that can be able to keep up with those passes, because sometimes he's a little overzealous with those things, so it's very hard to find somebody who has that closing speed. Now you have that guy that can have that closing speed, and that's super dangerous
and has shown you the ability to do more than just go.
Yes, absolutely. He can do
so
numerous
exciting
things.
Right, correct.
Absolutely.
John Colson, the boss, checks in. He says, love the comments from all of the haters during halftime, LOL.
What did they say, John?
I mean, look, halftime was tough because the Ravens have blown a 14-0 lead.
Well,
and
that's
made it a
true.
14-14 game. I don't blame anybody for being – I was concerned at halftime.
As you should have been.
I was very concerned.
Sure.
Bill, now let's not have a letdown next week. Big win. I think this is where I feel right now, Rita, right? Like, I don't think this proved that the Ravens are the team to beat in the AFC, or – I'm not even really sure I buy into them yet as a Super Bowl threat. But I buy into the idea that they could be by the end of the season.
Yes.
That's what tonight, like, that if they can continue to grow, then I might feel differently about them in 2 months. And what you have to go do when you're that team is you can't follow up a huge emotional victory by coming out flat on the road in Cleveland next week. And how many times have we seen the Ravens do it? And I think we all know, as much as they're very much still Brownsing it sometimes this season, we all know this is definitely a better Browns team than they have been years past. And so when you go to Cleveland next week, that is not a gimme. That is going to be without the same emotional backdrop of Sunday Night Football against the Steelers. You're going to have to be ready to go for 1 o'clock in a crap stadium on a crap field against one of the worst organizations in the history of football.
Well,
you're going to have to be just as ready to go next Sunday.
I agree, and I think that if you're the Ravens, you've obviously been paying attention to what they've done this offseason and how they've upgraded, and you can't look at this as the years of the Browns in the past. Now, I know that they've won two games, and that's obviously been double the amount that they've done in the last two seasons, and so good for them. And so, but I don't think that you can take this team for granted. They have a very good defense, the Browns do, even though they gave up a lot of points to the Raiders today. Ultimately, they have a good defense, particularly the defensive line. And then now they have some skill players that have come in and played well. So I don't think that the Ravens will take this team for granted.
I don't think they'll take them. I don't think there'll be anything about preparation.
I don't think that this
what
is,
I worry
that
about,
take
Rita,
them lightly.
Is when you show up at 1 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon in Cleveland next Sunday. There's just something about it's the same. It's very similar to what happens in Cincinnati. There's going to be an empty. It's just not going to be the riotous atmosphere that you can feed off of.
Like, oh, I don't know. I
know that they're trying to get behind them, but there's still a lot of empty seats. This is still an organization that there's a lot of people in Cleveland that are struggling to have faith in, right?
As they should.
It's still going to be the type of situation where you're going to have to create your own energy next Sunday. And so it's the next test, right? That's what it is. Like, this was a test in a way because this has been the measuring stick the last 2 years. Now, next week's a test of, are you going to be the team that follows up your best win
right.
with a flat performance where you look like you're disinterested, where you look like you don't care? Or can you be the team that can say, no, we're going to play this way consistently week in and week out, no matter who the opponent is, no matter where the game is, no matter how many fans are in the stands, the whole deal? That's just the next thing we need to learn about the Baltimore Ravens.
I'm sorry.
Just trying to roll through these things if we can.
Go ahead. No problem.
From AJ, Marty stuck with the run, sprinkled in Lamar, and stayed disciplined. Amen. And they won. Again, the Lamar stuff does nothing for me, but in fairness, I was worried about them getting away from the run late in the first half, and they didn't abandon it. Despite the fact that the run has not produced a ton,
yeah,
it's just it needs to be a threat. They ran the ball 30 times tonight.
Yeah.
That's cool. It didn't, you know, they ran the ball 30 times for 96 yards. It's not like they're a very good running team. They're not. But they did it, and they kept it in there, and, you know, the Buck Allen run at the end of the game was phenomenal.
Absolutely.
And we can enjoy that. But they did. They stayed with it. They did not abandon the run, and I think that matters significantly.
Yes.
From Glenn Eunice checks in. What's going on, GY? He says, good game. Ravens are much better. Line play is good. Also, Steelers are so-so at best. All points are true independently. Good win. And I don't have a problem with any of that. All these things can be true.
Absolutely.
We can think the Steelers aren't as good as they've been.
Yes.
And yet still say this was a really good win for this football team.
It's still a divisional game. It's still two teams that know each other very well. And it's still a game that the Ravens had to find a way to get that monkey off their back because they've had a losing streak against the Steelers. So I do think that this is a good win for them.
Mick, I thought the fumble would kill us. I mean, I think a lot of people felt the same way. It just looked like
the momentum did shift.
No doubt.
You felt it. I think we all felt it. And then at some point they ended up tie in at 14. And so, yeah, you felt like this was not going to be in the Ravens' favor. And somehow they found a way to continuously run the football, which I really think is important. And then in the second half, I felt like they got their tight ends more involved, and that really played a role into helping them win this football game. But ultimately, it boils down to Joe Flacco and how well he played. It really boils down to him.
It is the story of the season.
It really is the story of the season, minus week two, because I'm not putting that on him. I'm not putting on week two
again,
on him.
When you and I talked about this before the show started, I agree. They were in that game because of Joe
Absolutely.
Flacco. Absolutely. Like, the story of the season.
So if we want to bring that up, But the loss, in my opinion, had very little to... Yes, I knew he threw an interception and they got 7 points off of it. I'll give you that. But I still think that the Bengals were very dominant, and that was just their game to win. And I think a lot of that had to do with the defense losing C.J. Mosley and the offensive line not playing well. Right. I don't think it had. I think Flacco was down the list on things that went wrong that night. But I agree with you. This whole quarter of football and the reason why the Ravens are 3-1 has a lot to do with number 5. I know you guys don't like him. He's only had 2 interceptions.
He's been
four games.
He's averaging over 300 yards per game.
I don't know if he's ever done that. Has he, Glenn?
Well, he's never finished with 4,000. So there's no way.
Right.
Yeah. Correct.
So
no way.
I don't know what his pace would be because I don't know what his numbers are right now, but you have to assume he's on pace for about, for about 4,700
yards. Yeah, 5,000 yards.
Yeah, so, you know, this is all about the play at the quarterback position, and when you do right by him by getting him guys that can catch the football, what you can do to win football games, guys. It really boils down to that.
Rita, do you remember how you felt when the Super Bowl year where you literally – I remember I had this saying that year as the playoffs went along. And I remember when we were down in New Orleans, people kept asking me, like, hey, what do you think about Sunday? And I'm like, well, right now I'm going to take the team that has Joe Flacco. Like, that's – you just got to a point where you just said, the way that guy's playing – If this team has him, yeah, they're going to win.
Yeah.
And I'm not so sure that I'm ready to tell you that yet this season, but it has that feel of the dude is in a zone.
He's in a zone. And you have to acknowledge it.
And again, the play calling has been good.
Yep.
They're mixing things up for the most part. I thought, you know, the Bengals game was lacking that. But for the most part, they're mixing things up. We're seeing some creativity. Again, the only problem for me has been the insistence upon getting Lamar Jackson on the field. Like, save for that, and I'd be overt in my praise of what they've been doing. Like, that's the only time that it's been an issue for me is when they try doing that stuff. It's just not working.
It feels pointless.
Offense,
yeah.
The offense is too good.
Yep.
The offense is too good.
Have we ever said this before? Let's discuss
Baltimore.
This real quick.
Have
we ever said the offense is too good? No, seriously. Like, you know how good that feels to say? That feels really good to be able to say. I'm going to have to assume that the Ravens are top five in scoring. If I had to guess, they'd be top five in scoring.
Might be right around there. Sure.
And obviously yards per game. So this is different, but it feels good because this is what we've been asking for a very long time, and we finally got somewhat of a response to that, and it feels good. And I think the part that feels even better is that you know that they have guys. Obviously, you got a first round draft pick that is not playing because he has an injury. So you have guys that you have expected to immediately be an impact who has not played a snap yet in regular season.
Rita, let's not go in wood too. The relative health of this team.
Yeah, absolutely.
4 weeks has all, again.
Yes,
you'll point
which
out,
plays a huge role.
You'll point out Hayden Hurst. Fair, they haven't had him yet. And Kenneth Dixon's hurt, and that's, you know, not ideal. But, frankly, I don't know that Kenneth Dixon really had a role in this.
I wasn't counting Kenneth Dixon at all. I was counting Hayden Hurst. Literally, that was it.
Of course, right. But the relative health of this football team to this point in the season is something we've been through far too much of the other thing the last few years for us to not recognize how significant it is in how good we feel about this team now at the quarter pole of the season. Josh, reflecting some of the things we just talked about, storyline has got to be Joe Flacco and the receivers. No question. It's the story of the first four. The story of this first four is they went out. Again, they didn't get Julio Jones. They got competent pass catchers. And I think it's a statement about how piss poor it's been the last couple of years. And we should continue to talk about that because it does tell us a better picture of the story of what's happened with the Baltimore Ravens. They have failed miserably the last 2 years in putting anything of even competence around Joe Flacco. They gave him competence this season.
Yeah.
Not exceptional, competence.
Yeah.
And he is playing. Look, Pat Mahomes is the best quarterback in football, so I can't say he's playing at an MVP caliber level, but name me three quarterbacks that have played better than Joe Flacco
right now,
for the totality
very
of
hard.
The season. It ain't Tom Brady.
No. I'd probably say Mahomes, potentially Andy Dalton.
Andy Dalton's played really well.
And
there's
then,
no doubt.
So there
it was Fitzpatrick for a couple of games, and then it wasn't.
That's just two games.
Right.
That's
name
two
a third.
Games.
Name a third quarterback through 4 weeks that's played better than Joe Flacco for the totality of the season.
Yep.
Again, in moments, guys have looked really good. Mitch Trubisky looked brilliant today. But for the totality of 4 weeks, name three quarterbacks in football that have played better than Joe Flacco for the first 4 weeks of the season.
Well, if you're a hater, you're going to name someone.
Jared Goff. But, all right, maybe I'll give you Jared Goff.
Oh, well, yeah.
Jared
okay,
Goff's
fine.
Been,
Jared Goff, that's a fair, completely fair person to put.
Right.
But again, that is, if you don't like the guy, what you're seeing does not fit into the narrative that you've pushed on what Five
Correct.
Has done or what he's not done. You're going to say, you know, okay, finally he got something. But really it does have a lot to do with the fact that in the past, particularly in the 15 and 16 season, he did not have guys that he could rely on that were good. And that is the position that he was in. Add to the fact that he was injured both seasons. He had been injured, what, 2015 to 2016,
correct.
2017,
dealt
he had the back.
Yep,
so those things do come into play. For whatever reason, people like to forget or ignore those components, fine. I get it. I know that it is very hard for us to put our trust in the Flacco. I get it. But now you see when you put guys around
when
him,
he plays
what he
well,
could do.
When I see it, I'm reminded. This
yes.
is Joe Flacco.
Yep.
And again, my anger is how poorly they failed him as an organization after they decided to lock him up long term and make him the guy.
Correct.
I'm so angry about that. But you know how I felt. My this has always been my point.
Yes.
My point has always been this doesn't work. It doesn't work the way you want it to work. People don't just magically make their pass catchers of any quality. We all watched Jeremy Maclin last year. It was embarrassing.
Yep.
the effort that he gave. It was embarrassing, and I didn't think they were getting much out of Jeremy Maclin, and even I was disappointed in it, and I thought little of the signing. This is what they did. Now they went out and got competent.
Yep.
And we see what we get from Joe Flacco. By the way, he does follow up. You also have to be excited about this D with Jimmy Smith coming back to add. And again,
absolutely.
I have beat up this defense, but to
go
4 weeks without allowing a second half touchdown ain't nothing. That is something
spectacular.
Yeah,
it really is. Without your best player in the secondary,
right. I don't know that I have great faith or that I completely trust the defense, but to go 4 weeks into the season without allowing a second half touchdown, that's something.
If you had to, how much would you put that on Wink as opposed to the players? Like, if you had to put on a scale of 1 to 10, how much is that coaching and how much is that players? Because remember, we still don't have Jimmy Smith. You still don't have your best player. And then you lost one of your other big players.
Let's call it like it is. The one that we can jump out immediately. Brandon Carr has played much better.
Yes.
Has played. Yes. Like, the play that he made in the end zone today.
Yes.
Like, who is that dude?
Yes.
Where did this guy come from?
Yes.
And maybe it's just the realization of Jimmy Smith's coming back. I don't want to be lost in the shuffle. I don't know what it is.
I think he's made a case.
But Brandon Carr has played great. Much higher level than we have seen from Brandon Carr since he arrived. Again, he was always fine and he was out there and he could, but he has manned up.
Yep.
Is that the entire story? I don't know, Rita, but I don't know that that's can be explained by Wink Martindale.
Okay.
I think Brandon Carr just played really good football.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? I think he's played really good football. Mick points out, shut down Juju and Antonio Brown for the most part. Absolutely. AJ, I still think Hurst should play left guard and Brown right tackle. Don't know that I disagree. Also says, who plays the slot now, Tavon Young or Brandon Carr? Good problem to have.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's talk about that.
Absolutely. That's a very good problem to have.
I think it's a matchup thing. You know what
yep.
I mean? I think that's what that is. I think it's a matchup thing. I think if you see teams doing what the Bengals did and trying to shift A.J. Green inside, then you want Brandon Carr. I think you want the bigger one-on-one cornerback. I think if they're trying to use a smaller traditional slot receiver or a scat back type that's playing the slot, again, you're not always going to know that, but I think that's going to be a matchup type of thing as to who ends up being on the field. Paul, maybe it's because he's talking about Lamar Jackson stuff. Maybe it's because the Saints' offense is being run by Sean Payton. But when they rotate Taysom Hill in there at quarterback with Breeze, it seems to be more productive in the flow of things. I like seeing Lamar Jackson in there. I guess it's just a work in progress.
It is. I mean, I understand. They know that he's a dynamic player, and they want to find ways to get him involved. And while I understand the notion, I do think that you don't want to lose the momentum of what you already have going. I think that's just something that Glenn and I are saying. It's not that we have an issue with Lamar Jackson, obviously. We know what Lamar Jackson is capable of doing. We've seen it. We know how good he was in college.
Guys,
the problem is that this team doesn't need that right now.
You're seeing the offense. It's unbelievably functional.
Right. I was getting ready to say, it's not like they're not doing well.
Right.
It's not like they're not doing well.
They don't need a shot in
the arm. They really don't need it. They don't need it.
They're playing incredibly well.
I agree.
Have good football players.
The only time I'm interested, at this point, I'm not going to even lie to you. The only time I'm interested in seeing Lamar Jackson is if you have a comfortable lead against a bad team and you know that you're not losing the lead. A la Buffalo
game,
Bills.
Right? Absolutely.
And where Lamar comes in the second half. I am only interested in seeing him in a situation where, knock on wood, if the quarterback is injured, if your starting quarterback somehow gets injured and he needs to play, or if you're blowing out a team and you do not want to have your starters in the game any longer. That is the only time I feel like I need to see Lamar at this point.
Here's where I'll expand it for you, Rita. I had no problem when people suggested he should be the guy that you use for two-point conversions. His skill set.
Well, we know who's doing two-point conversions.
Again, in the Cincinnati game, they had to run a two-point conversion,
okay.
And there was a part of you that said, this should be a place where you have a package that involves Lamar. That's what he's been working on. That you have said, hey, look, man, you have a skill set that's really unique for these circumstances because of the threat for you to run. So we need you to learn about 20 plays for two-point conversions, and you're our guy. Whenever we need a two-point conversion play, we're going to trust that you've got 20 plays that you have perfected in those spots, and that's how you can help us this season. And then whenever you become the quarterback, we'll work on other things with you at that point.
Yep.
But this year, you can help us with two-point conversion plays. I'll hear that, right? Like, that the uniqueness of needing to get 2 yards with one play to do it and a smaller field with which to work benefits having a quarterback who's a threat to run the ball. Like, that's a really unique circumstance where
yep.
I could say, I'll hear you on that. I use him in that way. Or again, if you think he can play wide receiver and he's willing to play wide receiver, then let him play wide receiver if you think he's a better option than the guys you have. Right now, I don't know how there's any world where that could be the case because you've got wide receivers who are playing good football.
Yeah. And I'm really not interested in seeing that anyway. He's never played wide receiver.
I'm sort of saying that tongue in cheek. Right?
I know. I'm just saying.
But if you thought he was a really good wide receiver who could also have that, you know, the Cordell Stewart factor where you might be a threat to throw the ball, but Cordell Stewart wasn't running gadget plays.
Yeah.
He was lining up and playing wide receiver. That's what he was doing. I have no problem with guys lining up and play wide receiver if they can play wide receiver. But the notion of the decoy stuff, I don't want to keep. Alan's mad at us. You guys are just ridiculous. You have to find something to whine about, really?
We're not whining. We're just saying that we would like them to use Lamar Jackson less, that's all.
Everything else has been really good. Everything else has been unbelievable.
We don't want
good.
Them to, look, if it's not broke, if it's not broke, why are you fixing it?
Correct.
That's
Your
all we're saying.
Is super good.
On third and short, you should not be having Lamar Jackson in a game when your quarterback is playing at a high level. That is all that we are saying, literally.
I just don't get it. Garland, this has to be the most solid Ravens victory since their last Super Bowl win. Great game plan on both sides of the ball. Well, Garland, I think you're ignoring going into Pittsburgh in the playoffs in 2014 and beating that team then.
Yes, we did.
So I would say maybe since then.
Yep.
Since then.
Oh, and they beat them handedly in that game.
Yes. Outside of that, I hear you. But that game in particular was very significant. Andy, Joe Flacco, Alex Collins, and Max Williams plus three accomplished receivers. Ladies and gentlemen, we have an offense.
The end. It really boils down to that.
Yep.
It really boils down to that.
Alex is following up on something that I said earlier. He remembers that night, the Torrey game, and he's like, dude, we were shotgunning beers. It was celebratory. Again, it doesn't feel the same. That's fine. It's okay for it not to feel the same way. This is still a really good win.
And potentially it might not. Okay, so that was a game that I believe, if I recall correctly, happened later on in the season.
But not that much later.
No, it was about November. It was November. Look it up because I was there. I told you I was there. I was drunk. Okay. I remember what I had on.
It was early November.
It might have been early November. But the point is that I'm making is that it was later on in the season. We're still in the very. We're only in the first quarter of the NFL season. So my point is that it probably felt different because, first of all, we kind of knew what that team was in 2011. We had an idea of who they were.
It was November 7th.
That's, see? I remember it was cold outside. At the very least, I remember it was cold. But I think it's different just because, like, again, that was later on in the season. You kind of knew the identity of that team. We're still trying to figure out if this offense is legit. I know that they put the proof is in the pudding. I get it. But I think we're somehow subconsciously waiting for the shoe to drop and for some type of reality to hit us. But maybe this is the reality. Maybe this is the reality that we're not used to because we're not used to having
really
good skilled players.
Correct.
So I think that that's what this is more about. That team that went to Pittsburgh and won, those guys had a rapport. Those guys were a team that had been playing together.
Correct.
This is a brand new football team. So while we're excited about it, we still really don't know the dynamics, if it's reached its full potential, if it still has some leveling up to go. We really don't know, and so you don't want to get too excited because you don't want to get let down.
It's
we knew
really,
who they were in 2011.
It's a really nice win. It's a
Absolutely.
Really, really nice win.
But it still doesn't say much.
It's just right now, you take it, you move forward, let's see where they are.
Yep.
At the moment, you feel really good about this football
Absolutely,
team.
Absolutely, as you should. Yeah.
John, at this time of the season, it's hard to find teams without flaws. The best teams improve throughout the season. I think that we alluded to that earlier. Again,
yep.
I don't feel like right now they're a threat to win the Super Bowl. But what I feel like at the quarter pole, I could have felt like they don't have much of a chance at all. What I do feel like is they're a team that's got some opportunity to become a really good football team as the season goes along, and I'm good with that. Mick, we have to keep John Brown. It's just tough because of the you're so worried about whether or not he can stay on the field. It's just really
but
tough.
But for now, he has,
right.
And he's bald.
He's delivered, but I can't. I don't know how they handle that. I don't know what they do. You could look at the Eagles and said they took a risk on Alshon Jeffrey. They brought him in for the 1 year, and then they signed him up.
Yep.
And they knew he was a risk. And he missed the first couple games of the season. But they said, we'll deal with the risk because he's that good of a football player.
If you're the GM, are you taking a risk? Did I just put that on you?
Really, there's a part of me that would say, with the Ravens, yes, I am, because I have so little faith in their ability to find receivers otherwise that it's a risk that I might have to take, right? Like, I might just have to say, I've got to do this because I have so little faith. Now, as an organization, you've got to have more faith in yourself to find receivers, but as an outsider, yeah, I don't trust they're going to find two good receivers in the draft next year because they don't ever find – they've found – two in the history of their organization. They found two. And again, not Hall of Famers, but they found Torrey Smith and Brandon Stokely.
Yeah.
In the history of their organization, that's what they found as far as wide receivers are concerned in the draft. That's what they've got. So, yeah, I probably do end up taking that risk. Andy, we can enjoy the week now. Absolutely. Troy, love number five. Great team win tonight. I mean, no. Joseph Flacco is focused. Rita, this win feels so good. I put my trust in Flacco all the time. I hate the way they're using Lamar in a hot offense. And Garland, one of the most solid game plans on both sides of the ball that we have seen in Baltimore in a couple of seasons. Sometimes Morningweg gets a little pass happy. But the confidence of this offense will carry this team. Last year, they could not close games defensively. This year, they are better.
I really would like to know why we're now getting better play calling. Is it because you have better players?
I can't ignore that. Rita.
I mean, but, you know, you just wonder. We've been complaining about this guy for a couple of years now, and now all of a sudden, he's called some really good ball games. And I just, What happened to previous years when we were complaining and yelling about, you know, no balance and all of those things? Like, what has happened? And the only thing that you can kind of, you know, correlate it to is the fact that he has better skill players. But come on. Listen, I don't want to complain. Somebody said we were whining before. I'm not trying to whine. I just want answers. That's basically all. I want to know why now, all of a sudden, in 2018, we look like we can run a decent offense, and then in previous years under the same offensive coordinator, we look like a poop show. That's all I.
You ain't wrong. The best one I can give you is I think it's the players. Yeah. I really do think it changes.
All right.
I need 30 seconds. We'll come back and wrap it up and get you ready for Week 5. It's the Project Game Day post game show brought to you by Glory Days Grill.
Respect. It's more than a word. In the U.S. Army Reserve, it is a core value, a value that brings together a variety of people from across the nation to answer the call to serve. Serving part-time in the U.S. Army Reserve means earning the respect of your community and your nation, all while pursuing your career and educational goals and staying close to home. And now, in addition to earning respect, you may qualify to earn up to $20,000 in bonuses when you join. To see if you qualify, visit goarmy.com/reserve or call 1-800-USA-ARMY, paid for by the U.S. Army.
All right, Ravens win tonight 26-14 to improve to 3-1 on the season. Next week, they're in Cleveland to face the Browns. And again, as we talked about, it's just the next test of a team that's trying to figure out how good they are. And we don't have that answer yet, but we feel far better than we would have felt had this gone the other way.
Absolutely.
Tonight. And of course, as we keep alluding to the other storylines that loom, Jimmy Smith returns to the team this week. They'll have to make a roster move in order to put him back on. And we are expecting, we thought maybe it could have been this week for Hayden Hurst. Now we're expecting it to be next week.
Yes.
That we see Hayden Hurst and how they use him and what that does in the offense. Again, tight ends have played well this season, so it'll be interesting to see what it is they go about doing as Hayden Hurst returns. But for now, just a lot of good. Just a lot of thumbs up, happy people. High five somebody this
Absolutely.
Week,
Absolutely.
Right?
High five and put your middle finger up to a Steelers fan that's in your office.
I love that. Because
I'm doing it. I'm doing it, and I don't care.
Back to a normal time for us next yes. week as we will be with you after Ravens-Browns, which is a 1 o'clock kickoff in Cleveland next Sunday. Rita, you're, of course, on Twitter at the NFL Chick.
Yes.
And you'll be back on next Sunday morning. You'll be back on the Fantasy and Reality Football Show with KZ and Kyle as well. I'm back tomorrow morning for Glenn Clark Radio, glennclarkradio.com, and, of course, right here, facebook.com/PressBoxSports. Project Game Day brought to you by Glory Days Grill. Catch all the action at your neighborhood Glory Days Grill, where we have tons of TVs to catch every moment of every game. Enjoy $5.99 burgers on Mondays, $5.99 nachos on Thursdays, drink specials throughout the season to help you cheer on your favorite teams. Come in today, try something new. Well, not right now. I mean, like, wait till tomorrow. It's late. And Glory Days ain't one of those places.
No, they ain't staying up
there. Yeah,
late.
Right. But go in tomorrow. If you're listening to this tomorrow, I guess you're going right now. You get the point.
Yes. Go to Glory Days when you can.
Try something new from the seasonal menu. Glory Days Grill. Great food. Good sports. Project Game Day postgame show. That's a wrap. Ravens win. Hooray. We'll talk to you next week.